today. Getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. A lot going on over here. I have to do it. Bill Gates is speaking about the report that he may have caught an STD. Bill Gates now speaking out in regards to just that. So take a listen.
It's a $100 billion handshake.
How are you? Thank you.
Bill Gates back in Australia, committing his money to medicine. But as we sat down, the world was gripped in the latest round of accusations from the Epstein files.
Yeah, I met Jeffrey in 2011. The focus was always he knew a lot of very rich people, and he was saying he could get them to give money to global health. You know, in retrospect, that was a dead end, and I was foolish to spend time with him. I was one of many people who regret ever knowing him.
Tonight, the demand for answers include from his former wife.
Those questions are for those people and for even my ex-husband. They need to answer to those things, not me.
You've no doubt seen the allegations, including some of them from the last 24 to 48 hours. Are they true?
No. Apparently, Jeffrey wrote an email to himself. That email was never sent. The email is, false. So I don't know what his thinking was there. It just reminds me, you know, every minute I spent with him, I regret and I, you know, apologize that I did that.
The problem is some of the things that he has sent and some of the information about other people that has come up in those files has been true. Why would he do this and say this about you, do you think?
You know, it's factually true that I was only at dinners. You know, I never went to the island. I never met any women. And so, you know, the more that comes out, the more clear it'll be that although the time was a mistake, it had nothing to do with that kind of behavior.
It comes at a time where trust in institutions is low and demand for charity is high. Donald Trump ending the USAID program, cutting billions and costing lives.
There are already hundreds of thousands of deaths from the money being cut off.
The Gates Foundation stepping in. Already $100 billion has been spent.
Hundreds of thousands of deaths since we've started defunding all of these foreign health groups. Do you like how he said that? He never met any women. Never any women. Bill, what about the girls? Didn't really say that, though. It was very specific on women. You see, here's the problem with Bill. Although he might try to deny these reports now, it's easy to do so when you're not under oath. It's very easy to do so when you're not under oath. Why haven't we dragged him out in front of Congress to make him testify? Why hasn't there been an investigation into Bill? He's obviously spent a lot of time with Jeffrey Epstein. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that one of the richest men in the world was going around begging for change from anyone, even Jeffrey Epstein, to help fund his global health efforts. Oh, you needed money from Jeffrey Epstein? That's the reason why you did it? That's garbage. How about you guys call him out on that? You're one of the wealthiest men in the country, in the world, and you have to beg and plead and hope that Jeffrey Epstein might end up helping you get some donors? It's obviously absurd. It's stupid. He's trying to pretend like, I met with Jeffrey Epstein for you, the people. Now, Bill, we all know what you're up to. We all think we know, at least. What would be nice to get a nice little investigation into you, but unfortunately, there's a lot of cowards out there. A lot of cowards. Bill Gates, using his words very strategically, never met any women. Women. But what about the girls, Bill? What about the girls? All right, folks, buckle up. We've got a lot more to discuss. In third hour, lots jam-packed into the third hour of the show. Billboard Chris will be joining us. We've got a lot to talk to him about in regards to the fight that they're actually winning. We're winning this fight to protect children from the transgender propaganda. Big news coming that way that he'll be joining us to discuss. We'll also have Logan Washburn on. Logan's working on an exclusive story that he's going to break for us on this program, so you're going to want to hear that. And Ken Silva also has an exclusive as well. He just got more photos and videos of the individual who allegedly was trying to assassinate President Trump the second time around. He'll break down his latest report in just a few moments as well, so don't go anywhere more to discuss.
person. I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal, third hour of the show. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We have three incredible guests that are prepared to join us and break down what they've been working on. But I want to get to kind of a happier story for the American people. Common sense is thriving these days, and we're starting to see glimpses of that. And, you know, HHS has done an incredible job at digging into this transgender issue and the influence that it has over children. Specifically, they're inspiring others to jump on board, and we just saw some really incredible news. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons, they have just released kind of a new report saying that doctors should delay gender-related surgeries until age 19, and they're citing that there's insufficient evidence that shows the benefits of trying to get these children to transition while they are children. So this is a bit good news. I know a lot of people have been fighting this fight for quite some time now, because obviously children are very vulnerable to propaganda and they're not capable of being able to make permanent decisions like, you know, cutting off their breasts or having their genitals mutilated by surgeons. And it's obviously been an issue that so many in the conservative movement have been fighting for. One of those individuals joins us now, Billboard Chris, who, you know, I've been talking to Chris for several years now, and it's exciting to have him back on the show. But Chris, you've done an incredible job at fighting for children and making sure that the propaganda doesn't consume them. And you are on the front lines of this fight. So I know yesterday when this news came out that the American Society of Plastic Surgeons is now saying, hold on and wait until kids are 19 before participating in these types of gender, as they call them, reaffirming surgeries. What's your reaction to this news? Because it comes because of HHS, who has been trying to open up the dialogue and say that we should buckle up and hold off for a little bit before we push this on to children.
Yes, thank you for having me, Brianna. In shocking news, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons has discovered that cutting the body parts off of children isn't helping them. Something that every single person with any IQ above 80 has known forever, but for some reason it takes these elite institutions years to come around. They actually did put out a statement back in August of 2024 saying they were looking into this. Lior Sapir had interviewed them, and he's one of the co-authors of that HHS report, which is phenomenal. And that report has followed the lead of a systematic review done in Finland, Sweden, the UK, even one done in Canada now, all, of course, revealing that trying to change the sex of children isn't helping them. So this is huge, because this is the first major medical institution in the US to speak out against this. And this will only help with lawsuits going forward now that they're recommendation is to hold off until 19, which still isn't okay, but at least they're not recommending this be done to kids anymore.
Well, that's the part that's really disturbing, right? Because we know it's not okay. We know that this is a small victory for those of you, especially you, who fight on the front lines for these children, that they might actually start holding off and waiting here. Obviously, more needs to be done. But what does this mean in the fight for protecting our children? Does this mean that, you know, now we'll see more coming out from HHS where they're actually going to be stopping these doctors from doing these surgeries? Because there are many people, and I've seen it firsthand, we've talked to, sadly, a lot of the parents who are maybe in a divorce, who are fighting over custody of their child, who are being pushed into this. Does this mean that there might actually be a holdup here where they won't be operating on these children anymore?
So this is a multi-pronged approach from the Trump administration. And I just want to say, first of all, thank God for President Trump, because he's doing everything in his power to stop this child abuse more than anyone thought was possible. Not only did he, in his first month in power, sign an executive order pulling federal funding from any hospital doing this, but now the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is looking into fraud. Because in many of these cases, these doctors, even in states where this has been banned, instead of saying they're prescribing puberty blockers, for example, for a child with gender dysphoria, they'll say that the child has an endocrine disorder. Or they'll say instead of a double mastectomy that it's a breast reduction. They're falsifying their insurance coding to get away with this. So we've got the FTC looking into fraud. We've got the HHS with this phenomenal report. We have the Center for Medicaid and Medicare under Dr. Oz, who previously was for transitioning children on his show. He's done a 180, and they're now pulling Medicaid funding from any institution engaged in these sex-rejecting procedures. And we also have the DOJ going after bad actors in this field. So on every single front, the Trump administration is going after these guys, and it's having an impact all over the world, I should add as well.
Yeah, I did see it. There are other countries that are also jumping on board with this, and that is really refreshing to see. I also wanted to get to, I guess, you know, more good news, because I think this is going to make doctors think twice before they operate on children. But there was recently a jury who awarded a woman $2 million after finding that there was two medical professionals liable for malpractice. They did transition her, it looks like, back when she was a minor. She is now 22 years old, and she sued both her psychiatrist and the plastic surgeon involved in a double mastectomy. And this happened in Westchester, New York. Obviously, and your heart breaks because, you know, this is obviously something that's not reversible. $2 million doesn't seem like enough, especially given the fact that, you know, sadly, if she ever decides to have kids, she might have problems. I don't know how far they went with all of this. But at least this is a major, major victory for those in this movement as well. This will cause doctors to think twice before they push these kids to get these devastating surgeries. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, this is hugely important. So there are about 28 cases going on right now, and this is the first one to make it to trial. Mm-hmm. The jury awarded $2 million, and they found the psychologist 70% liable and the surgeon 30% liable. So, of course, insurance companies are going to pay out for this verdict. Mm-hmm. This will put a chill across the insurance profession where they're not going to want to insure these procedures anymore. So we need more of these victories so we can hit these insurance companies in their bottom line. That's hugely important. That is as important as anything. Now, also, it's great that this was in New York State, because Zoran Mamdani has sworn that he's going to use $65 million of New York taxpayer funds to make New York City a sanctuary city for kids from all over the country to come and receive puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries. So it's great that this was done in New York State. Furthermore, this sends a message to all the other young people out there who've been harmed, who perhaps haven't come forward. Because for a lot of them, why would they come forward? All they're going to get is abuse online from thousands of people who previously called themselves their friends. But a lot of people are just kind of silent about this. They don't want to take the abuse. They've been harmed already. They've officially detransitioned, which you can't, of course, grow back body parts that have been cut off. You can't undo the damage that has been done. But hopefully this sends a message to them that they can also sue. So I would encourage them to get in touch with my friends at Campbell Miller Payne, a law firm in Texas of dads who all left their previous profession just to sue for these young people, because we need to get them justice.
I love that. That's awesome. Good for them, because these kids need justice. And you know, when you go into adulthood and you made a decision when you were a kid, I mean, you can't make these decisions when you're that age. It's not fair. It's not right. You can't even drink. You can't even get a tattoo, but you could do these types of procedures. There's no logic involved in any of this, but the propaganda is real, Chris. And it's something that you also take on head on all the time. And yesterday, I thought there was a really interesting exchange, because the CEO of Netflix was actually testifying yesterday on The Hill. And it was more in relevance to a merger that they're trying to pull off. But it was interesting because Senator Josh Hawley addressed the reason why I stopped subscribing to Netflix, and that's the transgender propaganda that they spew throughout all their films. I pulled my membership when I saw a cover photo of a biological woman pretending to be a man, pretending like men could get pregnant, and that was it for me. I was out. But so many parents are relying on Netflix for, you know, entertainment for their children, and it's being consumed with this transgender propaganda. So Josh Hawley actually asked about it yesterday in clip 16 while testifying, having the Netflix CEO testify. Let's take a listen to that.
you turn on Netflix, you'll find that an enormous amount, and I say this as a parent with three young children, an enormous amount of your children's programming has this ideology and agenda in it. Is this an advocacy position for Netflix? Are you, is this an ideological commitment you have? I mean, why is this?
Senator Ali, Netflix has no political agenda of any kind. I would tell you that.
Well, then why is your children's program so full of this highly sexualized, highly controversial agenda? I don't understand it. It seems strange to me.
Respectfully, sir, it's because it's inaccurate. We have millions of hours of children's programming.
You're saying it's not there. You don't have trans. You don't feature trans characters, trans storylines, trans themes. It's not in your programming.
I'm saying we feature a wide variety of stories and programs to meet a wide variety of people's tastes.
Why does almost half of your children's program feature this highly controversial, highly sexualized material? That just seems strange to me. It can't possibly be a reflection of the population.
Senator Holly, I don't have any idea where that number would come from or what that would be. I don't believe that's been your personal experience, but I can't speak to that.
Well, what do you mean you don't think it's been my personal experience? You don't think that I monitor what my children watch on your... Here's what I tell you what my personal experience is since you bring it up. My personal experience is that my three children, I can't let them watch anything they want on Netflix. I can't let them watch anything on Netflix unless I preview it, because I don't have confidence in what's on your platform. I don't know what they're going to encounter, and I tell you what, I don't want my kids being pushed an agenda about their sexuality or gender identity when I have not had the opportunity first to discuss it with them and to form them in that. And I, frankly, on behalf of parents around the country, it offends me that Netflix is pushing this content at parents in what seems to be a very coordinated, thought-through, planned-out agenda in a way that, frankly, I think undermines parents, certainly undermines me and my wife. We have to watch every show beforehand before we can let our kids watch it. Now, I don't know. That seems pretty concerning to me. I know you make a gob of money on it, and maybe that's the answer. But it just seems to me that it's a disservice to the parents of this country, particularly given what's happening with our youth on this subject.
All right, I want to step in on this issue because obviously, Chris, this is a heated topic that many have been talking about for a while now, but Netflix is looking to merge with Warner Brothers. And the fact that Netflix is just so far left is deeply concerning. And I know the antitrust division is looking into this as well. But what do you make of this? Because he specifically said it was inaccurate when Josh Hawley mentioned all of this transgender propaganda that's being pushed in their films, their shows, and it's directed at children. Do you think it's inaccurate, though?
Inaccurate. You can't turn on a single show on Netflix without seeing some of this or seeing, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that.
Yeah.
But there is nothing more pathetic than a grown man enabling this child abuse and enabling this madness of gender identity. And I want to say real quick, we don't have gender identities. This whole thing is made up. The term never even existed until 1964, when it was invented by a professor at UCLA named Robert Stoller. And since then, this idea that our gender is separate from our sex was going around in academic circles. And when gay rights were won, and we have the advent of social media, this exploded amongst our kids. But I heard in an earlier segment, Bill Gates talking about how the defunding of USAID has led to hundreds of thousands of deaths. Of course, they can't point to a single death. Mm-hmm. But what was USAID really doing? It was funding gender equity in Uganda or Afghanistan or wherever in the world. They were wasting billions of dollars of your tax money, sending this to NGOs who then send this out into the publishing industry. And this is why we see transgenderism everywhere, because it was awash in money. And if you wrote a child's book about a transgender child or a transgender bunny, it was guaranteed to get published. And the same goes for the television industry. That's why we see so many of these shows on Netflix and all these other streaming platforms. And it's time we just say stop, because there's no such thing as a transgender child. This is the most harmful social contagion in our lifetimes. This is the most harmful medical scandal in modern history. There's no truth to any of it. So these men need to get a wake-up call, and I specifically pick on the men because I'm a man, and I think men out there need to do more to speak up.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, they do. We do. We appreciate you for speaking up on this, you know, topic. This is obviously something that, and I've covered it before with you, has led to you getting assaulted in the streets for simply just asking questions and simply trying to get people to change the path that they're currently on when they're kind of dissecting and going through the debate itself, because obviously this is an important one. So, Chris, we appreciate all that you do. Give him a follow on X, folks, if you don't do that already, at Billboard Chris. That's where you could find him. He's doing incredible work and trying his very best to protect children from the transgender propaganda, and we greatly appreciate him for doing that. So, Chris, thank you for joining me. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, a lot's happening right now. We're getting ready to buckle up on this. I got a great exclusive coming your way in just a few moments. And it comes to us from the great folks over at the Dallas Express. But before we get there, I want to play this clip for you. It's an interesting clip. I just saw it pop up and I was like, we got to play it. Because right now, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Benson, he is testifying right now. And Maxine Waters, who obviously, as many of you guys know, is a congresswoman who's absolute garbage, decided her very best to try to get a little one-liner in there to go after the Treasury Secretary. And it didn't go over well for her. Take a listen.
Ability and putting the economy at risk. Yes or no? Do I have to explain?
Representative Waters,
will you be the voice? Will you be the voice of reason?
Morgan University.
Mr. Chair, will you let him know that when I ask him
time does belong to the housing woman from California.
10 and 20 million immigrants.
Can you
look at the housing stock of working Americans, and can you maintain some level of dignity?
Gentlelady's time has expired.
No, my time has not expired.
Your time has expired. The gentleman
took up my time.
She's so obnoxious. See, this is the problem when you elect people, or you elect people to Congress that are low IQ individuals. You get Maxine Waters. You get her. You get a bunch of trash, and she's just one of them. So good on the Treasury Secretary for getting that one in there. She's garbage. She's trash. We all know just that. And, you know, it's good to call it out when it happens. All right, folks, I wanted to bring you an exclusive that comes to us from the Dallas Express. This just dropped moments ago. And so we have the reporter, Logan Washburn, on right now, who's going to break us down his very latest report. It is exclusive regarding Congressman Brandon Gill, who is looking to make sure that the DFW area isn't conquered by Islamists. And Logan joins us now. Logan, thank you for being here. I just saw you drop this brand new exclusive report just a few moments ago. And so I reached out to you last week. I was like, hey, you got to come on to talk about this. This is good news. And it has everything to do with what you and I have been discussing for quite some time now. So break down this latest report that the congressman is currently working on.
So this report follows Congressman Gill's announcement that he's introducing a 25-year moratorium on Somali immigration into the United States. So when we were talking about this, he said this essentially ties into the issue that we're dealing with in DFW, which is large-scale Islamic immigration. And not only that, but it's a failure to integrate into society. So we've seen Epic City. We've seen a lot of other developments, such as a mosque in Leander, where these communities form enclaves. Instead of integrating and becoming American, they end up forming these highly Islamic developments and trying to essentially plant colonies around the DFW area. So Congressman Gill is very concerned about this issue. He has expressed concern that his constituents have shown, and he is trying to start pushing back on this with a moratorium on Somali immigration, because we've all seen what's happened in Minnesota recently, and he's hoping to prevent that from happening in Texas with Islamic immigration here.
Yeah, and I think this is important because, although I don't think we have a big Somalian population, you got to get ahead of this. And we know that they're going to be trying to do their very best to conquer DFW as well. Those are their own words when they're up in Minnesota. We heard from their own one of their own Islamic leaders, and he specifically said the word conquer, which I think is really interesting because that's how they view it. But the American people haven't really caught on to that yet. But, you know, we keep outing it. But when it comes to this, I mean, how does he plan on enforcing this? Because the reality of it is, and look, and you've covered this extensively, when these groups do come to purchase massive amounts of land, a couple of acres here, a couple of acres there, they're not running on they're not being truthful. So they aren't coming off, and it's not a guy named Mohammed who's looking to purchase the land. It looks innocent. It looks like a group of people that are very innocent. It could also be a Chinese national. I was just actually, I'm going to report on another story in Alabama where it's someone who was alluding to pretending to be Christian, and they weren't Christian. They're in fact Muslim. So how does the congressman plan on going around that? Because I think that is one of the top priorities right now, or should be the top priorities, is the people that aren't being honest when they're purchasing these lands.
Absolutely. I think you're very correct in pointing out the fact that this legislation stems from the issues up in Minnesota. We don't have many Somalis here in DFW. But what this bill does is he essentially presses pause for 25 years on new Somali immigration to the U.S. This does not affect those with current legal status, but it essentially hits pause to give folks time to acclimate and kind of assimilate to American culture. He expressed concern about a lot of the welfare fraud and things like that we've seen. But then he brought it back to Texas and pointed out that we have developments like Epic City. And then we saw in Wiley, ISD just on Monday, an Islamic group went into the school and started handing out hijabs and pamphlets on Sharia law to the students. And they specifically targeted non-Muslim female students. The school district says this was not properly authorized, but there's some conflicting reports there. So this all goes to show we do have a growing Islamic influence in the DFW area, and legislators like Gill and others are seeking to kind of keep tabs on this and find strategic ways that we can navigate this this new dynamic, which is so foreign to North Texas of all places.
Yeah, no, I think people are starting to wake up on this front, but yeah, it is foreign to them. I don't think people realize too, because, and I always try to remind people, because a lot of people say, "Oh, Brianna, you're over exaggerating the crisis that's going on right now." We're not, though. The reality of it is, a lot of these people, they're building up compounds. The women don't leave their house, and they are forced to stay where they are. So you wouldn't actually see it front and center, but you could see it based on the mosques that have popped up over these last few years. Logan, I know that's something that you've covered extensively as well. I mean, we're talking over four dozen in the last 2 years. So this is a crisis, and it's one worth the attention of all Americans, because, again, I keep saying it's not just happening in Texas. It's happening in Florida. It's happening in Alabama. It's happening throughout red states, and it's because we're more desirable. We obviously do share common values when it comes to the propaganda, the trans propaganda not reaching children, so they do appreciate that. But we also have the issue of, because we're low-regulated states, and that's the reason why they're flocking here. So this is something that needs to be a top priority, and we look forward to seeing what unravels with this new bill. Logan, thank you for joining us. I know this was last minute, so we appreciate you jumping on to break down your latest report over at the Dallas Express. Folks, he does a lot of great reporting over in the Dallas area as well throughout Texas. So give him a follow on X, Logan Washburn 76 is where you could find him, of course. Logan, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Folks, I want to remind you that today was a big launch day over at the alexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over right now to the shop, because we just launched a few moments ago the Ultimate Human Hydration. Now, this is an electrolyte drink mix with French sea salt. You got to go give this a try. And the best part about it, it is probably one of the most reasonably priced hydrations that I've seen so far. You go to the supermarket quite often, you'll find that a lot of these packets are very expensive. But this is actually a reasonable price over at the alexjonesstore.com. Head on over to the shop right now, because when you become a monthly subscriber, you're going to get a great discounted rate, plus also a hydration bottle as well. They just launched this a couple of moments ago, so you got to head on over right now. If you're someone who doesn't get your electrolytes in every single day, I don't know why you don't. This is something you should do every single morning, start your day off right. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and join us on this new mission to improve our personal health. I do it every single day. We have two brand new flavors, strawberry lemonade and lemon lime, over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've heard about methylene blue. Well, we have the best. 7 years ago, my medical doctor told me, get on any USP-grade methylene blue. Just buy it online. So I did. Really didn't feel anything. My wife felt some energy. I knew it was good for my mitochondrion cells and the telomeres and things, but I kind of forgot to take it because the results weren't that dramatic. Then my main sponsor, Bigley, almost a year ago, said, try this. We have true USP medical grade out of Florida. This company actually makes it for the medical system, but they're letting us buy it and put it out. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes after I took it, I felt electricity through my hands and body, surging energy. It was actually kind of scary. Then it peaked in about an hour, and then no letdown. You can take this stuff and go to sleep. My workouts got better, my clarity, my focus. It's really been crazy. So, you know, the news and information we cover is super accurate. You know, the guests we have on have track records of being super accurate. I don't promote anything that isn't bona fide and real. So for all of you that have been on the fence out there, believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to the AlexJonesStore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane. I've given it to almost every guest that's come in on the show. I forget sometimes. And every guest has had from dramatic to insanely incredible results while they're still on the air for an hour. So here's some excerpts of what they had to say about it. You took Methylene Blue about 30 minutes ago. Are you feeling it?
I think I am. I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it. Unlimited power! Oh! Yeah!
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
You totally feel the difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesshore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, we got our eyes right now on Ryan Ruth. As many of you guys know, he's the individual who tried to assassinate President Trump. This was the second assassination attempt on President Trump that we know about, of course. But the interesting angle to hear is he's actually going to be sentenced and he's in court right now waiting for his sentencing. And so there's a lot coming about that. We'll keep you up to date, though, when the sentencing does drop. Of course, you'll find out here on InfoWars. You'll also find out on my X page as well, at Brianna Morello. That's where you guys will go for that. But the good folks over at Headline USA are working on an exclusive that they just released a few moments ago as well. And this is why we wanted to get our next guest on. But interesting enough, folks, this one is a lot of videos and footage that we actually have not seen as of yet. So joining us to discuss is Ken Silva. He is the editor over at Headline USA. He's going to walk us through the exclusive that he just dropped a couple of moments ago in regards to all of this. All right, Ken, it's good to have you on the show. We're watching to see when the sentencing officially drops. As of right now, though, but he is in the courtroom, I do understand, and he is expected to be sentenced today, it looks like. But you've just dropped a bunch of exclusives in regards to Ryan and what you've uncovered so far. So break down your latest report in regards to all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'll have to cut this off because the sentencing hearing began at 11 a.m. We could have breaking news at any minute. I do expect him to be sentenced to life. I mean, given the gravity of his crimes and the fact that Judge Cannon is handling the case. But yeah, meanwhile, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our exclusive today. What we've done is published a giant trove of photos and videos from Ryan Roos' phone from his time in Ukraine, which he actually sent to a documentarian who kind of knew him over in Ukraine. And the documentarian provided me with this material. And I believe it represents the most detailed account of his time there to date. We've got videos of him talking about why he was there, about other volunteers, talking to Ukrainian veterans. And yeah, oh, I guess we can play one of them right now where he kind of talks about another volunteer and gets emotional in the process.
Camera speed?
Speed. So tell me, for instance, I'd love to understand some of the people you've gotten to know and their stories.
Right. In my travels here, obviously, while we may only have a small percentage of volunteers here fighting, the ones that are here are truly amazing. So some of the people that I've met, Edward from Jacksonville, Florida, 21-year-old kid, sold his motorcycle, sold everything to come here, you know. So kids that are willing to sell everything to buy a plane ticket to come here is amazing. So Jared, same thing, selling everything he owns to come here and fight from Canada. So Slim, you know, he's military. He came, he got shot in the pelvis. You know, had to get extradited to Lviv to be operated on to get the bullet out. So, but every person that I've met that has, you know, put their entire lives on hold and sold everything they owned to buy a plane ticket to come here, some from Germany, some from England, some from France, just everywhere, you know, buying bulletproof vests for themselves, buying helmets, you know, spending their own personal money to get everything they needed to come to support Ukraine. So.
All right, Ken, we'll let you go back to it now, specifically talking about what that was, because he's obviously getting very emotional and he's inspired. So what do you make of all of this?
Yeah, you know, I wish I could tell you that I have, you know, some smoking gun that proves that he was put up to the attempt by a government agent or something like that. I, you know, we don't really have anything in the trove that's quite that juicy, but I do think this shines light on his mindset, how emotional he was, you know, how passionate he was. And, you know, to me, he looks like a guy who could easily have been manipulated. Another video we have, which might not be make for the best radio, is he's kind of secretly recording other volunteer warfighters who are talking about what a disaster the war is. One saying that, you know, he had 6,000 pounds worth of equipment that a Ukrainian stole from him. They're complaining about the generals kind of saying, hey, they're just having us sit here taking mortars. So there is some really good stuff that you can find over at Headline USA that's definitely worth digging into. I will tell you that interviewing numerous people from over there that knew him, I actually don't think he was explicitly told over there to kill Trump. I mean, he represented himself during a 4-week trial, and at any point he could have blurted that out. I think it was something more subtle. From talking to these people in Ukraine, what I've gleaned is that he probably was radicalized there. I mean, one person I interviewed who knew Ruth, he's talking to me, and at one point he goes off on a tangent about how, you know, the Russian Trump P tapes are real and he wants to punch JD Vance in the face. So it's kind of that milieu of people who are like super pro NATO, ultra liberal, ultra anti-Trump, those were the people who he was associating with. And these aren't like the kind of guys that you'll find at an embarrassing No Kings protest. These are more, I guess, part of the upper crust of society, you know, people that come from money, people that have connections in government, people with the resources to just go drop what they're doing and go over to Ukraine. I think that kind of rhetoric probably subliminally influenced Ruth to where he thought that if he did this, he might be a hero with these people he knew in Ukraine. But, you know, still, so we might know what influenced him, but the far bigger question that we've discussed on your show before is how he was able to operate with impunity given his long criminal record and his, you know, frankly, shady activities in Ukraine, you know, trying to recruit Afghans and Syrians to fight against Russia. This got him put on the radar of a grand total of 7 government agencies, including the CIA, FBI, State Department, Ukraine's government. So whether they missed him due to sheer incompetence or they allowed him to run at Trump, you know, out of something more nefarious reasons, that's what we still need to get to the bottom of. And yeah, last thing I'll mention about this is I also obtained a screenshot of the text message between him and a Ukrainian that he was trying to buy a rocket launcher from as part of his plot. And the screenshot is the Ukrainian sent it to another journalist who provided it to me. And he's like, oh, I thought Ryan was joking when he was asking me for a rocket launcher. But that same Ukrainian also said, well, clearly somebody gave Ryan Trump's schedule, and that's how he was able to find him at the golf course in September 2024. So even the Ukrainian who knew Ruth had suspicions immediately after the attempt. And that's, you know, these are some of the still like more darker questions that I haven't found answers to yet.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part in all of this, right? There's a lot of questions that have not yet been answered, and we're still kind of trying to dig through it and figure it out. But there's been a lack of transparency on that front, and I think that's concerning. I've got my eye on it, too, to see when he's going to be sentenced. Obviously, we're waiting for that. So folks at home, once we find out, we will let you know. But Ken, I also want to talk about this. We played the clip earlier in the show, but and I know this was on your radar as well. When it comes to Thomas Crooks, obviously the first assassination attempt that was on President Trump's life, this is an individual, obviously, that we don't know much about either. And I think it's concerning that the American people haven't heard more on this front. You know, when I released it, and as well as Miranda Devine and Tucker Carlson released what we received as the social media presence of Thomas Crooks, the FBI, who didn't want to give me comment prior to releasing it, instead decided to call it false reporting. But then we had Director Kash Patel yesterday on Fox News with Brett Baer. We played that clip for our audience before. And specifically in that clip, is he saying, like, we've put out everything that we're legally allowed to put out there. Are you buying that, though? Because, again, he says that it's legal what they've put out. They can't put anything that they legally are bound to not put out there. But they don't cite the laws. They don't explain to the American people what that specifically means. And for the rest of us at home, for me, it sounds like they think they're above having to explain specifically what they're referring to here. But do you think the FBI has been transparent in that as well?
Oh, well, the FBI hasn't put out any new records about the attempt since August 29th, 2024. And clearly, Kash Patel is, I don't want to say he's lying, but he's not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And we know this because there's a May 2025 clip from when Dan Bongino is deputy director and he's on Fox and Friends. It's from his infamous spot where he almost breaks down crying because he misses his wife. But perhaps more interestingly is the fact that he says at that point when they ask him about the Trump assassination attempt that, hey, we're working on a new package of files that we're about to release soon. And we never got that. So, you know, what Bongino said wasn't true either. But, you know, the point is that he did promise more documents, and now we're being told that they already gave us everything legally that they can. I guess it was maybe a month ago that the DOJ did unseal a number of grand jury records where they were investigating whether Thomas Crooks had accomplices or how he was motivated. And those records, the actual order said that the FBI is allowed to give them to Congress now. And so maybe it's on Congress to give us those records. But still, those were only records that were being subpoenaed from like tech companies and different platforms where Thomas Crooks was active on. Really simple stuff that they have no excuse for not releasing includes like the interviews with the Secret Service agents in the days after the attempts, like what was going through your mind? Why, how did you miss this kid? There's dozens and dozens of FBI 302s with those interviews that they could release tomorrow. I mean, they could release the interview that the FBI conducted with Trump. These type of things, there's just absolutely no excuse. What they'll tell you as far as the legality of this all is that technically it's still an open investigation, even though they're not really working the case. And therefore, like when I FOIA'd a lot of these records, they told me we can't release them because they could jeopardize further law enforcement proceedings. But of course, this is just an age old tactic that the FBI does to stonewall the public. They say, oh, we can't release it because it's still an open investigation. But that's just a terrible excuse. The grand jury's closed. Thomas Crooks is dead. It's really disingenuous what they're doing.
Yeah, Ken, I know that there's still an ongoing investigation to some people he may have been communicating with. So that I'm aware of. But the rest of it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And for those who communicated with Thomas Crooks, I'm sure they already know that they're being investigated. It's not a secret. So I wish they'd be a little bit more transparent in that and just say, you know, there's an ongoing investigation to folks that were communicating with him. Maybe that. But just to sit here and say, we've done everything. It's not fair. And I was glad to actually hear Brett Baer push back on Kash Patel, although Kash Patel was openly disputing what Baer was saying. I was glad to see that he was a little pushy on that one, because I think it's worth pushing back on. I want to shift gears, though, because we got a lot to cover with you. There's a lot that's been going on. The trial of the Iranian that was apparently trying to assassinate President Trump, that Iranian plot, as many people recall. Well, apparently the trial is going to begin later this month. What's the latest on that front? Because we haven't heard about that in a while.
Yeah, and that's actually a case I would argue is more interesting than the Ryan Ruth trial. This is the guy who was arrested on July 12, 2024, as he was leaving the country. He's a Pakistani guy who's alleged to have been working on behalf of the Iranian government to hire hitmen to assassinate Trump. And when the news of his arrest broke in August 2024, a lot of people automatically assumed this has to be related to Thomas Crooks. I mean, him being arrested the day before the attempt is quite the coincidence. I don't think that's the case, though, because when you look into this case, it really reminds me of the so-called Whitmer kidnapping plot. What you had here is the guy was monitored before he even entered the country. According to John Solomon, he was let in April 2024 as part of like this kind of Fast and Furious like program where they're just tracking potential terrorists, letting them into the country on purpose to see where they're going to go and who they network with. He's talking to an FBI informant who puts him into touch with two undercover FBI agents who are posing as hitmen. And supposedly he tries to hire them for only $5,000 to take out Trump. So the whole case seems really ridiculous. And I'll be very interested to see how this trial develops. Like I said, jury selection starts February 23rd, so just in about 2.5 weeks. I think the significance of this case is clearly it's a sting operation where they're trying to build this, you know, politically charged case about the Iranians trying to take out Trump. But while in 2024 they're following this guy and putting him in touch with undercover FBI agents, they're totally dropping the ball on Thomas Crooks and Ryan Ruth. So even if there isn't some sort of larger conspiracy here, it just shows how totally incompetent the government is, where they're manufacturing these terrorist cases on the one hand while letting the legitimate ones slip through their fingers.
Yeah, no, this is a big one. And we're going to keep our eye on it, of course, because that's going to be an important trial to follow. And, you know, I was just on X and I noticed that somebody was saying, you know, how come I haven't heard about the trial of Ryan Ruth? And I was like, I just tagged you in it, Ken, because I think you're the only reporter who covers these things. Sadly, some people don't do the deep dives, but you do. And we're thankful for that. And it's not just us who are thankful for that. Also, apparently Mike Benz is as well. And Mike Benz was just on Joe Rogan this week. And you got a little bit of a shout out from our good buddy, Mike Benz. So let's listen in to clip 17, and what Mike Benz had to say about your work.
The FBI internal memo describes how this confidential human source reported that Alan Dershowitz was a Mossad agent. And after every meeting, he goes back and tells his Mossad handlers, you know, what they talked about. and you go, oh, my God, it's an FBI confidential human source. The FBI wouldn't, you know, pay an informant unless they found them credible for this sort of thing. On the very next page of the files, it says President Trump. I'm paraphrasing. You can pull this up if you want. You know, President Trump is controlled by the government of Israel, and they have, I forget if he says they have blackmail or something to this effect. Now, I don't know whether either of those things are true or not. I don't know what, you know, any more than anybody else who's done research on this. Certainly, there's a lot of overlap between Dershowitz and the Israeli government and high-level Israeli officials. So in that sense, if that were to be reported, I don't know that it would be the who knows about whether that's true or not. It's, but it plays into a kind of confirmation bias that a lot of people have. And so when you see that in an FBI file, the first thing your instinct is, if you're, you know, if that's your journalism beat, is to write all about it and get millions of views. And same thing, there's a MAGA civil war right now that's happening over issues around Israel. It's, you know, you say, oh, my God, it's been proven. The FBI knows that, well, Ken Silva, who's a journalist, shortly after that published a tweet containing a file that had much less engagement, where he said, actually, I actually have a copy of this document. And again, I'm paraphrasing here, where it matches that document file number. It's got the same text, and it looks like that confidential human source is Chuck Johnson. Now, I saw that and I went, oh, my God. Because one morning I woke up to a text from that very person saying, this is about 2 years ago, I never met him, never talked to him, don't have his number. Somehow he got mine and messaged me on Signal to turn myself in because I'm going to prison. He then proceeded to look up my ex-wife and make allegations that I was a Mossad agent because she was a prostitute from a foreign country and involved in all these, you know, Mossad black ops type things. Now, he didn't even get the name right. He found a different person with a similar spelling that was, I guess, busted for prostitution or something, and then makes these giant claims on social media that, I had been like married to a foreign spy prostitute or something. And then he goes on to message someone he thinks is my donor and threaten them to cut off funds because if he doesn't, then I've made the intelligence community very angry. And they have deputized him to tell the person he thought was my donor that the intelligence services of the United States of America will crush the businesses of someone he thought was my donor if he doesn't cut off the funds he thought that person was giving to me. Okay? This is that confidential human source.
All right. So I just want to be clear. These are accusations that are being made. But, you know, Ken, you've done some digging into all of this, and you believe you've ID'd who the person is behind this. Walk us through how you got there and then why this is so important to discuss.
Yeah, sure. So I appreciate the shout out from Mike Benz, but oh man, this is kind of a big can of worms. I don't know if you're familiar with Chuck Johnson. He's kind of like a long-time provocateur in the right-wing movement. And you know, I actually think he's a pretty interesting guy. Mm-hmm. I've read his Substack for quite a while, but he is hit or miss. So, he's the guy who revealed that Peter Thiel was an FBI informant during the Biden administration. And we know this for sure. Chuck Johnson, the FBI informant, actually recruited Thiel to work for Chuck's handler, FBI agent named Jonathan Bouma. So, you know, on the something major like that, he's very credible. He also predicted that Tim Walz was going to be Kamala's running mate. And I think he did have inside information on that. But on other things, you know, I just don't know. I mean, he claims that Jeffrey Epstein had been working for the Israelis up until maybe like 2012 or 13. And then the CIA flipped him and Epstein was actually kind of like a good guy working against the Israelis. So he's got some wild stories, but you know, he, I've been talking to him, and he provided me an FBI report. This must have been almost like 18, 24 months ago, that where he's talking about Trump being compromised by the Israelis and how Alan Dershowitz is a Mossad asset. And I didn't really do anything with the report at the time. I know those rumors were pretty prevalent. I just kind of kept it in my pocket. And then when I saw the Epstein files get released on Friday with a very similar report, it's not the same report, but when I was reading it, I'm like, oh, this has got to be Chuck. And if you look at the serial number on the Epstein files report, and I compared it to the one that Chuck gave me, it's the exact same serial number, the same handler, Jonathan Bouma, same field office, Los Angeles. So it's definitely Chuck Johnson that generated that allegation that Trump is like compromised, and it's Jared Kushner running the White House. And yeah, I guess, you know, listeners and viewers are going to have to decide whether that's credible. I mean, obviously Trump's very pro-Israel, but it kind of just set off a kind of a shit show, to be frank.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. No, I thought it was really interesting, and I think it's awesome that Mike's giving you a shout out for your work. So I appreciate it. Again, folks, we're keeping our eye to see when Ryan Ruth is going to be sentenced. Right now, so far, nothing, but there is a live camera outside the courtroom, and so we'll bring it to you when he is sentenced. Ken, you're doing incredible work over at Headline USA. Again, folks, check it out. If you want to see the exclusive stories, the videos, the footage he has just released, that is where you do so. Support great independent journalists like Ken also, and give him a follow on X at JD_cashless. That is where you can find him at. Ken, thank you for all the incredible work you do every day. We appreciate it, of course. You're one of the very few who are digging into all of this, so we appreciate you for doing that.
Yep, my pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you, as always. All right, folks, we've got our eye on what's happening right now outside the courtroom, like I told you. Also worth noting that President Trump on Truth Social posted, said that he just got off the phone with the leader of China, CCP, of course, Xi Jinping. They had a discussion about trade and whatnot, so we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. They also talked military as well, and potentially a visit. So we will keep our eye on that as it develops. In the meantime, though, folks, that does it for us today on the American Journal. Working on a big show for you guys tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. In the meantime, though, we did just launch, we're very excited about that, the ultimate optimal human hydration. It's the electrolyte drink mix with French sea salt. This is going to be an incredible way to start your day. We have the strawberry lemonade and lime, the lemon lime flavor. Let's get it right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. This is definitely something you're going to want to add to your daily routine. I keep talking about it, but I drink my electrolytes every single morning. It's the best way to get a natural boost to your energy, of course. And that's probably one of the top priorities. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. When you subscribe, you save. And they also throw in a free water bottle, too, for you when you do just that. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched this a couple of hours ago. So be one of the first to grab yourself some new electrolytes over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire of Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back, got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.